Hey, feeling unsure about your finances these days? You're not alone. That's why Noble Gold Investments is here to help. Just hear it straight from the people who they've helped. The Noble crew walked me through everything with no stress. With their help, I could finally sleep easy at night. And now this month, Noble Gold Investments is handing out a free 5-ounce silver America the Beautiful coin if you qualify for an IRA. Invest in gold and silver with Noble Gold Investments. Go to NobleGoldInvestments.com right now. That is NobleGoldInvestments.com right now. Hey, everybody. Today on the Charlie Kirk Show, Senator J.D. Vance to talk about his fight against mask mandates. And then Owen Schroyer, very powerful interview about a young man who's going to go to months in prison for a speech crime. A speech crime. You have to listen to this and text it to your friends. It is so wrong. Email us, as always, freedom@charliekirk.com and subscribe to our podcast. Open up your podcast application and type in Charlie Kirk Show. That's Charlie Kirk Show. Get involved with Turning Point USA at tpusa.com. That is tpusa.com. Buckle up, everybody. Here we go.
Charlie, what you've done is incredible here.
Maybe Charlie Kirk is on the college campus.
I want you to know we are lucky to have Charlie Kirk.
Charlie Kirk's running the White House, folks.
I want to thank Charlie. He's an incredible guy. His spirit, his love of this country. He's done an amazing job building one of the most powerful youth organizations ever created, Turning Point USA.
We will not embrace the ideas that have destroyed countries, destroyed lives, and we are going to fight for freedom on campuses across the country. That's why we are here.
Brought to you by the loan experts I trust, Andrew and Todd at Sierra Pacific Mortgage at andrewandtodd.com. Okay, everybody, in just a second, we will have Senator J.D. Vance. Feels good to say that, from the great state of Ohio, joining us. Hunter Biden is now indicted. We're going to get some immediate reaction from J.D. Vance on that. Hunter Biden indicted, and with a total massive news eruption on failure to fill out gun forms correctly. It makes you, there's a couple different ways to look at this. Let's take one of them, because we don't quite know what's going on, but there's a good argument to be made. Yesterday, we walked through how the Democrats' central plan for 2024 is not going according to plan, and then boom. Washington Post writes an article, says Joe Biden shouldn't run, and then they indict Hunter Biden. Joining us now is Senator J.D. Vance. Senator Vance, Hunter Biden is indicted. Your initial reaction?
Well, first, Charlie, we have to remember that he was probably indicted only because of the pressure that we've been applying, that you've been applying, that the entire conservative grassroots have been applying for a fair and impartial justice system. Remember the plea deal went wrong that nearly basically excused Hunter Biden and protected Hunter Biden from a whole host of charges. I'm glad that we got that blown up, and I'm glad that we got this indictment. Look, man, it's a basic question. Do we live in a two-tiered system of justice or not? If we don't, then the president's son, especially the president's son, ought to face consequences when he does something that would land the rest of us in jail. If I bought a gun and lied about being a drug addict or being incarcerated for drug crimes when I went through the background check, there is no doubt in my mind that the Biden administration would come after me and throw the book at me. I know it's just because of political pressure, but that's important, and it's good that they've done the right thing here.
We will see how it materializes. So, Senator Vance, with the 9:30 looming deadline, I don't think Chuck Schumer is going to waver, but we have to do everything we possibly can to try and defund Jack Smith, or at least try to hold Jack Smith more accountable. Do you have any thoughts on that strategically, how we, as a movement, or at least from a congressional standpoint, try to hold Jack Smith far more accountable and or cut his funding?
Well, I think the first thing, Charlie, was we have to actually have a unified strategy for the case that we're going to make to the American people about why we need to limit Jack Smith's funding and actually defund the corrupt Department of Justice that he's just sort of one piece of. Of course, Merrick Garland's entire Department of Justice is using its power to prosecute political opponents from Donald Trump on down. It's totally unacceptable. The crazy thing, though, Charlie, is that you hear a lot of different reasons for why Republicans are taking the position that we are on some of these budgetary fights. There's no unified theory. There's no unified message. We're trying to get this. We are the people's representatives trying to ensure that we do the people's business. And I think that we just have to make that argument a little bit better. Now, we know, Charlie, that every time these government shutdown fights happen, you know, you have obviously serious problems. For example, I don't want the border security, even though Joe Biden isn't letting them do their jobs, I don't want to throw them to even greater chaos by effectively not paying the guys that we do have on the border trying to keep us safe. We know Republicans are going to get blamed for this unless we have a better strategy. Unfortunately, I haven't seen one.
No, I have not either. Okay, so let's talk about your standing up for the U.S. steel industry. This is something that, unfortunately, has been forgotten in Washington, D.C. Tell us about some of your fights and some of your focus and emphasis to stand up for the American steel industry.
Well, first of all, Charlie, this is about self-sufficiency for the American economy and good wages for American workers. We should have learned the lesson over the last 40 years that when we ship all of our jobs to communist China and other countries, it's working Americans who get screwed in the process. And these are these are our voters. These are people who expect us to protect their industries, to protect their jobs, and they get the short end of the stick every single time. Joe Biden does what he's doing here, which is putting the green agenda, the radical climate agenda, above the interests of Ohio workers, above the interests of workers all across the country. I mean, like a basic economic reality, Charlie, and this should, by the way, be a good thing for America, is that you can't manufacture steel without low-cost power. Well, good for us. We have the lowest cost, highest quality power right here in the United States in the form of natural gas. Are we using that to empower the American steel industry, or are we throttling the American steel industry, shipping all those jobs to the dirtiest economy in the world, which is communist China? Well, unfortunately, the Biden administration, shockingly, in the name of environmental justice, is encouraging us to ship our steel manufacturing to communist China. It is insane what they're doing. And yet, I mean, they're doing it, man. It's crazy. I don't understand it. I don't even pretend to know where these guys are coming from, but they're doing it.
And he's supposed to be this kind of pro-union, pro-muscular labor guy, Scranton Joe, and he's anything but that. I also want to spend some time here, Senator Vance, on your fight to ban mask mandates. You would think that that would be a bipartisan proposal, but there has now been a rather significant clash with you and Ed Markey, which I find to be a very interesting clash, kind of old versus young, Republican versus Democrat. So talk about this clash, because this shouldn't be as disagreeable as it's become. Senator Vance, tell us about it.
Well, look, I don't need to, you know, re-summarize all of the debates about masks, Charlie. I think you and your listeners are very much on my side here. I think of masks as basically you're trying to stop a respiratory virus. It's like trying to stop mosquitoes with a chain link fence. The droplets are just too small and the masks are ineffective. Here's the thing, though. You've seen this weird anxiety tick up, this weird panic start to set in over the last few weeks as COVID cases have increased, Charlie. And I'm just trying to put a marker down to say no more. We're not going back to this. You've got young kids, Charlie. I've got young kids. And we know that the mask policies really affected the development of our young children, especially their speech delays. I just want us to say enough with the panic, enough with the craziness. We're going to go back to common sense and not force three-year-olds to wear masks. So we've tried to impose some mask mandate bans on different levels of the federal government. We're actually working on an amendment right now to an appropriations bill that would ban mask mandates for airline passengers. Remember how crazy it was when you had to wear a mask every time you got on an airplane? So we're going to keep on hitting this. But aside from any specific policy, any specific ban in any specific department, I just want us to act like grown adults, right? We cannot flip out every time we see a spike in respiratory viruses in fall. It's going to happen every fall for the rest of our lives, just like it's happened every autumn for the past hundreds and hundreds of years. Respiratory viruses go up when the weather starts getting cold. Let's accept that fact. Try to deal with it. Try to protect as many people as possible, but not pretend that we can control respiratory viruses. We just can't. What we can do is prevent ourselves from getting thrown into a weird panic about it.
Yeah, that's exactly right. The horror and the panic associated with these mask mandates makes America significantly less free. Senator Vance, just in closing here, are you hearing any whispers, anything you could share about plans to reengage in lockdowns or kind of the similar sort of ramping up that we saw previously with COVID hysteria? Are you starting to see, let's just say, more Senate staffers wear masks around hearings, or some more of the octogenarians be very worried they don't have their ninth booster yet? Are you starting to see some of that, at least in the U.S. Senate? Anything you could share with our audience?
Yeah, Charlie, I actually saw a staffer in a mask today, and I sort of looked at another colleague of mine and said, are we really doing this again? Are these people really going back to it? So I unfortunately have to say, yeah, Charlie, I think you are seeing some evidence of a return to this hysteria and to this panic. I think people got to stay vigilant about it because, you know, when I proposed this mask mandate ban just on airline passengers and on school children, the response I got was nobody is trying to reimpose mask mandates. Why are you even trying to do this? Well, then, of course, the Democrats actually tried to stop me, suggesting maybe they're a bigger fan of mask mandates than they might let on publicly. There are a lot of pieces of evidence that this is coming back. And I just think we have to be the party of reason here. We don't have to be angry about it. We don't have to be mean about it. But we just got to say, look, respiratory viruses suck, but they are here to stay. We can't do anything about it other than take some common sense precautions and get on with our lives. That's what our kids need us to do more than anything, far more than masking them, God forbid, is they need to see us act like grown men and women who aren't terrified of somebody every time they sneeze.
Yeah, colds are here to stay. Coronaviruses, you can't. It's really hard to vaccinate against them. So be healthy, get a good immune system. And sometimes you get a cold and it lasts a couple of days and it's not fun. And then you survive. J.D. Vance, excellent job. Thanks so much.
Thanks, Charlie. See you, man.
Very proud of what J.D. Vance is doing. Very thankful for him. Hey, everybody. Charlie Kirk here. We are saving babies with preborn by providing free ultrasounds. When you introduce a girl to her baby by providing an ultrasound, you're giving her the truth at the most important time in her life. And more than 85% of the time when she sees the baby and hears the baby's heartbeat, she will choose life. The voices that call themselves pro-choice are loud and proud, and they are everywhere. It might feel like an uphill battle, but there is no better fight to fight than with the truth of an ultrasound. $140 gives five mothers a free ultrasound and saves babies. $280 can save 10 babies. For just $28 a month, you can save a baby a month for less than a dollar a day. And $15,000 gift will provide an ultrasound machine that will save lives for years to come. Whether you want to save one baby or five or hundreds, that opportunity is just a phone call or click away. I'm a donor to Preborn, and you should be too. Call 833-850-BABY. That is 833-850-2229. Or go to preborn.org/Kirk. If you want to save one baby or five or hundreds, the opportunity is just right there. Go to preborn.org/Kirk.
So now it's time to connect the dots segment. We did this briefly before Senator Vance came on the program, and now I'm going to do this more thoroughly. Okay, so yesterday we made the argument that things are not going according to plan. There's always a plan. These are central planners. They plan everything. And they look at themselves as the oligarchs, the philosopher kings of society. So they're constantly trying to manage. They're the managerial class. They're technocrats. They thought that they could manage this election. They made five predictions. They actually tried to force five situations. And they're not going according to plan. Number one, they thought Donald Trump would be in a competitive primary. That's not happening. Do you hear about Governor DeSantis anymore? I mean, is there chatter? Is there vibe? Is there energy around Governor DeSantis? No. And I say this as an admirer of his, as a fan of Governor DeSantis. Just there's no energy, nothing. Donald Trump's up 50 points. Donald Trump's going to be the nominee unless something absolutely wild happens, which, given he's been indicted four times, I don't know what else wild could happen. Okay, number one. Number two, they thought that the lawfare that they were launching in the spring and summer was going to weigh him down, was going to demoralize him, was going to turn him into an erratic, former version of himself. That hasn't happened either. That the indictments have actually helped him raise money, solidified his base, so that didn't work. Number three, they underestimated how unpopular Joe Biden actually is and would become. And so Donald Trump is in a great position in the primary. He is in a very, very good spot in the general. And you are seeing more and more conservatives and Republicans compete. All of a sudden, early voting, turning point action, what we're doing in Arizona, Wisconsin, Georgia. So things are not going according to plan. It's September 14th, 2023. They thought at this time, at this moment, September 14th, 2023, they were confident that Donald Trump would be in a five-point race with Ron DeSantis and the media would be slobbering over that. They were confident that Donald Trump would be completely demoralized, maybe thinking about dropping out because of all the indictments, or at least they would try to make him into almost wounded animal syndrome. They thought that they could turn him into a corner where he just starts barking out and lashing out at everybody and loses popularity. None of that materialized. So since things have not been according to plan, and we laid that out, I think, rather comprehensively yesterday, more so than any other program, one by one by one by one, because they plan everything,
it should all of a sudden connect the dot of the news that came out today. Remember, we said that the Democrats don't care about candidate quality, but their machinery has limits. Everything in life has limits. Everything in life. Our time on this earth, how much you can push, how much you can move, everything in life. We live in a limited universe, a limited world. So their machine can give them a 3 to 5 point boost in some of these states easily. Ballot chasing, it can't give them a 10 to 15% boost. That is not possible. And then yesterday, you had the warning shots, Washington Post and New York Times. Washington Post says that Joe Biden should not run for re-election. So we diagnose this all together. They're seeing what we've been seeing for a couple months, that things are not going according to plan. And now post-Labor Day, they're heading kind of into this very troubling cycle where they're like, we better make a decision. Either we are riding the Joe Biden thing or we are not. Either we're going all in, and they are worried. There is risk, there is concern that running Joe Biden is not going to go well. And we're supposed to believe, just by a happenstance of coincidence, Hunter Biden is indicted today. You have David Ignatius, Washington Post, New York Times coming out. Everyone talking about how unpopular Joe Biden is. And then poof, out of left field, Hunter Biden indicted today. Of course not. It's all orchestrated. They're making a move. They are making a move to try and remove Joe Biden. We said last week we did not see the evidence it was happening. That has changed in the last couple of days. The indictment of Hunter Biden, the David Ignatius, somebody is calling plays to try and tell Joe Biden to get out of the way. So this is likely what is happening, is that Joe Biden and Jill Biden and Ron Klain and probably five or six other very, very Biden loyalists, loyal Bidenists, that's not right, people loyal to Biden, They're not playing ball. They say, no, we're not getting out of the way. It's ours. We're in charge. And the deep state regime, which is very worried that Donald Trump could get back into the presidency, could sneak back into the presidency, extremely worried, they're saying we can't run this guy. So today, Hunter Biden indicted on federal gun charges. It's not about Hunter Biden and gun charges. This is a warning shot. Is what this is. This is a deep state signal to Joe Biden saying, you got to get out of the way. Hey, everybody, Charlie Kirk here. There's a battle for our nation going on right now. The question is, who will lead it? Get answers at the Real Life Network televises the Pray Vote Stand Summit, September 15th and 16th, with former President Donald J. Trump and Florida Governor Ron DeSantis, discussing what it will take for America to get back to greatness. Along with a host of conservative leaders like All-American swimmer Riley Gaines, U.S. Senator Josh Hawley, Dr. Ben Carson, Pastor Jack Kibbs, and more. Go to reallifenetwork.com now to sign up for free. On Real Life Network, the gospel is never censored by big tech or the government, with faith-based family entertainment and new shows released weekly. Watch on any device, anywhere, anytime. Don't miss Pray, Vote, Stand, a free online event with Donald Trump, Ron DeSantis, and other conservative leaders, September 15th and 16th, available at reallifenetwork.com or download the app for free right now. That is reallifenetwork.com or download the app reallifenetwork.com. Okay, this is one of the most egregious cases happening in America right now. I'm very fired up about it. It's a massive injustice. This is a young man who is being sentenced to prison for a speech crime. He didn't go into the Capitol. He is patient zero for can you criminalize speech? Speech that the regime does not like. Speech that is not approved by the deep state or the Leviathan. Joining us now is Owen Schroyer. Owen, welcome to the program. Thank you for taking the time. You and I have had a spirited past. I don't care about that. What's happened to you is wrong, and I stand with you 100%. Owen, tell us about what's happening to you. The floor is yours.
Well, it's an honor to be here. And yes, you pretty much summarized it right there. This is patient zero when it comes to speech crimes. And the government would argue that this isn't about speech. And actually, that is what they argued in front of the judge. But their sentencing memo And their final words to the judge during my sentencing would say otherwise. And we are currently trying to get the transcription of my sentencing day in court public, because I think it's going to be a very important transcription, a very important document for the American public to read. You know, Charlie, they don't like having the media in the courtroom. They don't like having cameras or recorders in these courtrooms. In fact, there was a reporter who was just drawing. She was just drawing in the courtroom, and she was told she had to rip it up and throw it away. That's how much control they want over the narrative. But let's be perfectly clear in case others out there aren't aware of what's going on. The U.S. government filed a 30-page sentencing memo in my case. There are four sections in this sentencing memo, and each one of them specifically targets my speech. Now, some of the most incredible parts of this sentencing memo are they're criminalizing, and I quote, the things that I said on January 6th. Well, what did I say? I chanted 1776. They quoted that. 1776 as a criminal offense. I chanted USA, USA, USA. They quoted that in there as an offense that should be worthy of incarceration. I said death to tyrants. Well, gee, who would be offended by me saying death to tyrants? I think that that speaks for itself. Now, that is...
Well, that's the symbol of the state of Virginia. Just so everyone knows that. I'm sorry to interrupt, Owen. That is the state motto of Virginia, Sic Semper Tyrannis. Please continue.
Well, gee, I guess, Charlie, they're going to have to change that motto then, because the government would argue that that speech is worthy of incarceration. So that's the summary of the speech from January 6th. Again, I did not go into the Capitol. That's the summary of the speech that they're criminalizing that I made on January 6th. Now, furthermore, to conclude what they're saying I did or didn't do on January 6th, they had to admit in their memo that I said peacefully, we want to peacefully send a message to Mike Pence and Congress that we don't believe the election was legitimate. They quoted me saying that peacefully. That's in their document. They also had to quote my security team that was there with person one, who is Alex Jones, in the document. They won't say his name, but that's who person one is. Well, Alex Jones got up on a bullhorn and said, do not go into the Capitol. We do not want to give the left what they want for their propaganda machine. He ended up being right. And they have to admit that my security team was talking to Capitol Police saying, hey, we want to de-escalate the situation. So they have peaceful in quotes in this document, and they have de-escalate in quotes in this document. So tell me how you can argue that I'm trying to ramp up a crowd and engage in some form of violent or illegal activity, which I didn't do, when I'm there with my team trying to de-escalate and my very words were peacefully. So this is the government trying to have their cake and eat it too. They want to say that this is not about a free speech case, but most of the 30 pages of their sentencing memo were about my speech. And when we get the transcription from my sentencing day in court, you will see that the government's argument is just that. They say this is not about Owen's speech, but this is what he said. This is not about what Owen Schroyer said that day, but here's his quote from that day. How can that possibly be? How can any attorney stand in front of a judge, and how can any judge take that seriously when it's clearly, blatantly, I mean, ironic, hyperbolic? I mean, the list goes on and on. So no, this is most certainly a free speech case. But as if that's not proof enough, Charlie, in the 30 pages, they also pulled quotes from my talk show that I host weekdays. They pulled quotes from my talk show before January 6th and after January 6th. They didn't like me talking about the fact that I don't believe the election was legitimate. They don't like me talking trash on Joe Biden. And they quoted these things from my talk show, not even in DC, not even on January 6th, not even at the Capitol. They're quoting my talk show. So how can they argue this isn't a free speech case when, again, all they're arguing is my speech? There was no activity that day. I didn't engage in any illegal activity that day. And if you want to know how bad it actually gets, and this might not be any surprise to you or your audience, you cannot trust the U.S. government. I hate to say it, but you cannot trust the U.S. government. And our legal strategy was we're going to act in good faith. That was our legal strategy. We're going to act in good faith. I'm not going to go into the arena, go into the ring, take the gloves off. I wasn't going to say anything bad about the judge. I wasn't going to say anything bad about the prosecution as this case was going on and we were negotiating for more than 2 years, by the way, that I spent on probation, passing drug tests, having house visits by probation officers, monthly meetings with probation officers. I have travel restrictions. I can't leave Travis County without permission. The list goes on and on. So I was on good behavior for over 2 years. The probation office filed their memo to the judge saying that Schroyer's been on good behavior. He is not worthy of any incarceration or any jail time. And yet somehow the judge and the prosecution felt differently. But our legal strategy was you're going to behave. We're going to behave in 100% good faith. You're not going to say anything negative about the judge. And we went above and beyond cooperation. I submitted multiple electronic data requests. I submitted 2 cell phones to the federal government. I sat down for an hour's plus, I don't know how long it took, a proffer session, which is basically a question answer session. And they can see if you're being honest and they can ask you questions about what they found in your cell phones or emails or whatever. I was perfectly honest and transparent and all of that. So we went up. And by the way, they didn't have any warrants. I turned this all over without any warrants or nothing. So we fully cooperated. We acted in good faith. And the understanding, of course, was that, hey, we're not going to ask for jail time. We're not here looking for a pound of flesh. We're just having an investigation. So plead to this misdemeanor of entering and remaining on Capitol grounds. And we're going to drop all the other charges. We're going to drop any previous charges. We're not going to ask for any jail time. You've gone above and beyond when it comes to cooperation. So we're not going to ask for any jail time. So there it is, full cooperation. And then here comes the sentencing memo. They criminalize my speech. And then they ask for 120 days. That's what the Department of Justice was requesting, 120 days in jail. Now, the judge, which is his pattern of behavior, which makes this whole thing a little more suspicious, quite frankly, gave me half of what they asked, which has been a consistent pattern from this judge. So again, it makes me wonder if this whole thing wasn't decided before I even entered the courtroom that day with a consistency pattern like that. And so I got 60 days plus another year of supervised probation. Now, it was our understanding heading into this after we saw their sentencing memo that, wait a second, that's not only unprecedented, but that might be illegal. You can't do incarceration and supervised probation. Sometimes a judge will give a defendant the option of incarceration or supervised probation. In my case, he decided to do both. So we've got really a unique case here. It might be the first ever case of this kind. We are appealing it, at least to this point. The court has decided to let me remain outside of jail while the appeal goes on. And so we're in the appeal process right now. This case might make its way to the Supreme Court if it has to get there. And maybe that's where it belongs, Charlie. But that's basically the summary of everything that's happened in this case in the last, say, 72 hours. It's been quite a whirlwind. And, you know, I think for yourself and for a lot of other members in the media, when they saw this case and when they saw the egregious overreach by the U.S. government and the blatant attack on free speech, I think it sent shockwaves through the country. And I think the alarms are going off.
So I have several thoughts. That was very thorough and articulately presented. Number one, here they are having you on supervised probation in Travis County. When Travis County has become like a homeless hellhole, it's just hilarious that they're worried about your movements and that outside of Austin, it's become like a dystopian nightmare. But that's anarcho-tyranny at play. They were trying to muzzle you, Owen, obviously. And this the reason they put 1776, the reason they put this in is they were trying to dog whistle to a potentially sympathetic judge and or people around them to try to say, hey, we can't quite say it. We want to just make sure you know that this guy is not a good guy. And that's why they put your speech in there, 1776, death to tyrants, because for them, they try to find that as coded dog whistle language of right wing America.
Well, this is why the transcript from the conversations that day that went on between the judge and the prosecutors is going to be so important, because it really is Twilight Zone level. And when I'm sitting in that courtroom with my attorney, I mean, it's almost like I heard the Twilight Zone theme song in the background as this all is going on. They continue to say, this is not about Schroyer's speech, but here's what he said. This is not a First Amendment case, but here was Schroyer's speech. Not even on January 6th. And we're both like kind of sitting there just taken aback, like, whoa, wait a second. You keep saying this isn't about speech, but all you're talking about here is Schroyer's speech. All you're presenting to the judge here is Schroer's speech. And I will tell you this, originally, Charlie, when I was in court with these people, it was either 2019 in December or 2020 in January. I forget the exact date. There was a U.S. prosecutor that wanted to ban me from the entire District of Columbia. The U.S. government tried to ban me from the entire District of Columbia. And of course, the first judge rejected that. The second judge rejected that. And then when they got to a third judge, they found out this other deal in a deferred prosecution that they could limit my speech in the Capitol. But regardless of what happens to me, I think Americans need to look at this and they need to reevaluate how important the First Amendment is.
This is Owen Schroer, a young man who is very articulate, speaks the truth, and they're going to put him in federal prison if they get their way for 2 months, 60 days, for a speech crime, for saying things they don't like. That's not this country. That's Nicaragua. That's North Korea. That's not America. He did not go into the Capitol. He did not lay hands on anybody. No violence, no encouragement, none of that stuff. This is garbage. Hey, everybody. Charlie Kirk here. And like many of you, I'm a busy guy balancing family, show, travel, and TPUSA. When I needed a mortgage, I went to my friends Andrew Del Rey and Todd Avakian at Sierra Pacific. They were amazing. And look, I had some complicated stuff. Don't need to go into the details. They handled it personally. Call them if you have an aging family member, for example, that needs some financial relief. Ask them about a reverse mortgage. If you're self-employed and are finding it difficult to qualify because of that, they have my 100% full and complete endorsement. Call them and help you prepare. I'm telling you, anything mortgage related, please call them and not the big woke banks. Go to andrewandtodd.com. That's andrewandtodd.com. Fill out the quick form and they will get back to you with answers. Call them at 888-888-1172, andrewandtodd.com. They're good friends of mine. Full and complete endorsement. If you are a first-time home buyer renting and want to be, they'll call and help you prepare. Check it out, andrewandtodd.com. That is andrewandtodd.com. Fill out the quick form, and they'll get you back with answers, andrewandtodd.com.
Oh, and I put you and Douglas Mackey in a similar category where you have unrelated speech that is completely protected by our First Amendment that then gets brought up by the federal government to try to put you in prison. And so what is the status here? You've been sentenced to 2 months in prison. You did not go into the Capitol. You did not lay any hands on a police officer. You did nothing illegal at all. In fact, the opposite, you were telling people to not engage in illegal activity. And yet they're trying to turn you into a show trial is basically what's going on here. So what's the timeline? You're appealing. Walk us through it, Owen.
So we are appealing right now. At this point, since this is all still really fresh, as Tuesday was the sentencing, there's still some more unknowns than knowns. At least the good news for me at this point is it appears they are going to accept the appeal and that in the meantime, I'm going to be able to remain out of jail. This is subject to change at any moment. I think we'll have a better idea of the cemented situation within a week or two. But there were some other events here, Charlie, that the timing of couldn't have been any better. As I'm getting sentenced to months in jail and more on probation, I mean, I'll tell your audience this. I've been on probation for almost 5 years. I've been on probation for almost 5 years, okay? Now, I've never committed a violent crime. I've never harmed anybody. Like you said, I never went into the Capitol that day. And they're trying to say that because of my disruptment of the Trump impeachment in 2019, even though the plea deal was they're dropping those charges, they're now still trying to punish me for that. So they're trying to, again, have their cake and eat it too. But how ironic is it that they want to incarcerate me for never going into the Capitol, but as I'm being sentenced, what happened that day? Democrats stormed the Capitol and raided Kevin McCarthy's office. Now, are any of them going to face jail time? Are any of them going to be prosecuted? Will they even ever step foot in a courtroom, let alone a jail cell? Not to mention the pink hat wearing disruptions, not to mention the abortion disruptions, the climate change disruptions where Democrats bring them in, the Kavanaugh hearing disruptions, the Amy Coney Barrett disruptions. How about the summer of rage? How about when they burned D.C. and Trump had to be sent to the bunker, the Trump inauguration riots? I mean, we can go on and on and on with the double standards of justice here. The examples, the list is so long, we'd have to spend hours covering it. So it couldn't be more obvious. But then what do we have yesterday from the Biden administration? They send out a memo to the media requesting, demanding that the American media push back against the Biden impeachment. So, okay, well, how ironic is that? The U.S. government is trying to incarcerate me for a 30-second disruption of the Trump impeachment in 2019 as the White House is saying we need the media to disrupt and push back against the Biden impeachment. So what? So if Biden gets impeached and there's a hearing and a Democrat reporter stands up and disrupts it, is he going to get the Medal of Honor? Is he going to get invited to the White House? Are they going to have a ceremony for him? So it's just like impeccable timing that the Democrats storm Kevin McCarthy's office. And then the Biden administration demands that the media push back on the impeachment as I am being criminally charged. And they want to incarcerate me for a much less offense on both of those counts. And perhaps even the crazier part of this is, and this was an example that happened in 24 hours, in January of 2020, when the Trump impeachment was going on, there was a group of Trump protesters. It was about 40 Trump protesters inside the U.S. Capitol. It was inside the Capitol Rotunda, right where you might start your tour or right before you can go into the place where they have the hearings and everything else. And there's a group of about 40 Trump protesters there. They were for Trump's impeachment. They had shirts, they had signs, they had messages, and they were protesting Trump. There was no arrest. There was no law enforcement stopping them from engaging that activity. So I thought, okay, that's interesting. So I went back the next day at the very same spot that 40 Trump protesters were at inside the Capitol in 2020. I went back the next day with a piece of tape over my mouth that said censored. And for that, I was arrested. I spent 36 hours in jail. And I don't want to get too conspiratorial here, Charlie, but I was most likely poisoned. I spent a week sick after that 36-hour jail stint. So I either got poisoned or maybe I caught like the first wave of COVID or something. Again, I'm not trying to get too conspiratorial here, but that's what happened.
I believe potentially all of it, to be honest with you, because I don't trust the government. Owen, we're behind you 100%. If Trump becomes president, which I hope he does, I will be personally pushing for your pardon day one, hour one. Thank you, Owen. Appreciate it. Thanks so much for listening, everybody. Email us your thoughts, as always, freedom@charliekirk.com. Thank you so much for listening, and God bless.
For more on many of these stories and news you can trust, go to charliekirk.com.
When I grow up, I want to work for a woke company, like super woke.
When I grow up,
I want to be hired based on what I look like
rather than my skills.
I want to be judged
by my political beliefs.
I want to get promoted
based on my chromosomes.
When I grow up,
I want to be offended
by my coworkers
and walk around the office
on eggshells
and have my words policed
by HR.
Words like
grandfather,
peanut gallery,
long time no see,
no can do.
When I grow up,
I want to be obsessed with emotional safety
and do workplace sensitivity training
all day long.
When I grow up, I want to climb the corporate ladder
just by following the crowd.
I want to be a conformist.
I want to weaponize my pronouns. What are pronouns?
It's time to grow up and get back to work. Introducing the number one woke-free job board in America, RedBalloon.work.